Now, tonight we have one of my special loved ones going to share some thoughts with us, and she's also a minister at the Sunday church, and she is determined that she'll represent God for the rest of her life. You know, she does it even at her work, and her work is, I don't think, would be an exactly easy place. It could really test your patience, I should think. So she works for the government, and she is a mediator. Now, you tell me that wouldn't take a lot of patience. So I think God must be testing her. Do you really want to work for me? What do you think? You think that'd be a hard test there, Mom? What do you think, Mom?
Yep.
Anyhow, this angel that's going to come up and share her thoughts with us tonight is Reverend Connie Ferris.
Thank you, Millie. I'm not going to do the, No. It's true, I mediate workplace disputes, all kinds of them. And, yeah, it's great at the end. Stella and I were just talking about how it can take a lot out of you. It really does, because you really need to be in the moment and you need to care, but be impartial. And in the end, it can be very rewarding. But you walk out and you're just like, oh my goodness sake. Anyway, that's what I do. Hello. And excuse me, as always, it's such a treat to be here. And I was thinking, when I was thinking about what to talk about, I thought, well, the nice thing about being here is that you get to see people in person. You get to talk with people in person. And that's a little bit of what I'd like to, you know, share some thoughts on tonight, is this whole idea of communicating and how we communicate. And, you know, sometimes if we really stop and think about how we're talking with people or communicating with others, even just stopping for just a moment, it can make a huge difference. A huge difference, and maybe even prevent a whole lot of trouble. So some of you may remember that before computers became what they are today, well, Millie probably won't remember because you're too young, but we were told computers were going to save the world. Computers would make everything easier. Our jobs would be easier. You know, everything would just be, there wouldn't be any paper. Remember, there wasn't going to be any paper. We wouldn't need any hard copies of anything. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a reduction in paper, and the computer has kind of just added more to my job. And actually, about a month ago, you guys may know this already, but about a month ago, I have an attorney friend, and I was telling him about the paper and that, and he said, well, you know, there's a paper reduction act that was passed by Congress. I'm like, no way. He sent me the act. It was passed like in the mid-90s, and everybody is supposed to reduce their paper. Now, I'm not going to be the one to turn anybody in, but I don't know anyone who's following that act. Anyway, back to my point about communication. Let's talk about emails for a minute. Email has become the main method of communication, not just in offices, but also between family members living distances away, between friends. It has become the preferred, most common method of communication. Why, we can be in instant contact with customers and persons around the world in just minutes. It is truly amazing. But, you see, there are risks. When things are said or emails are sent in a hurry, relationships can be damaged. Truly. And as I said earlier, I'm in the communication business. I do it for a living. And whenever I work with these individuals who are having problems in their jobs, with their coworkers, with their supervisors, it always boils down to communication. or actually, more correctly put, would be miscommunication. Everything is just moving at such a hectic pace. We're all busier than we've ever been. So how can emails possibly pose any kind of problem when they're so efficient? Well, maybe you already know the answer to that. We don't write our emails the same way we would speak to someone. Plus, we're in such a hurry when we write our emails, they become pretty cryptic and to the point. And people can't see our facial expressions in an email. They don't know if we're smiling, kidding, joking. Now, some people put little happy faces in there or something like that. But, you know, if you're working in a professional environment, that's maybe not the way to go. So what happens? Things can get misunderstood. Your company can lose customers. Your relationships that you care about can be damaged. I've conducted mediations where discussions went on for hours about this one sent me impersonal email and so-and-so was disrespectful in his email and it was condescending and didn't even say hello or goodbye or nothing. Now the sender of the email usually doesn't have that kind of intention. We're just all in a hurry and type off our emails and hit that send button. But that hurried nature literally obliterates common courtesy. There is the absence of those niceties we used to put in something we called letters. When we used to write business letters or correspondence letters, there's an absence of those niceties. No good morning or writing in a courteous, professional manner. Those things have gone out the window. The shorter the email, the faster we send it, the better. No, not really. We need to stop and think for a moment. You know, even emails between friends can prove to be damaging if they're sent in a hurry. Haven't you had a situation where an email was misunderstood by a receiver, taken the wrong way? Certainly it wasn't your intent. Now how about the emails that say, I just have a minute and want to just touch base. I'm doing such and such and I'm doing so and so. Bye now. Well, you know, some people might prefer to have no contact at all. Or at least one where the person took the time to add one more little sentence. And by the way, how are you? And texting. Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to go. I don't know anything. It's a whole alphabet I don't understand. But I do worry. I worry that it's taking away or it's preventing those individuals from learning interpersonal and social communication skills. What's going to happen when those kids get into real world and real jobs? Are they going to be able to recognize the need to simply say good morning or how are you? And I don't just mean say it while you're running down the hall. I mean like wait for the answer. Ask a question, how are you, and wait for the answer. I don't know. You know, human beings are sensitive creatures. And sometimes we take things a little personally. Our feelings get hurt. And I have to wonder, if all this conflict is going on in the workplace right now, and it's based on lack of communication, how's it going to be years from now? Are y'all going to be texting each other? Where's the interpersonal communication, the simple courtesy? And you know, with everyone being under so much pressure and everyone being in such a hurry, all these little courtesies and basic kindnesses, in my opinion, are taking a backseat. Worse, when people are rushing or impatient, what happens? Well, maybe they get a little bit snippy. Now, not me, but some other people. Just a little snippy. You know, when you speak without thinking because you're in a hurry. But you know what? Words, you can't take them back once you say them. Not ever. So the damage is done. In spite of, or maybe because of, all our wonderful technology, the ramped up pace has resulted in people just not treating each other very well. Just not taking those few extra moments to be courteous. It's happening in the workplace, and I've seen it even in the homes with friends. Everybody's just too busy. Well, to me it begs the question, we're too busy doing what? What? What exactly are we so busy doing that we can't take the time to actually stop for a moment and speak kindly to someone? Or make the time to visit someone? You know, we need to be careful. We're the ones who are supposed to be aspiring to be living spiritually, aspiring to be walking with God. Well, if that's the case, then I think we have a responsibility to step up to the plate and lead the way. We have to be the ones, excuse me, I didn't bring any water. We have to be the ones ready to understand that people aren't generally intending to be mean, discourteous, or snotty. I think the adage about turning the other cheek is something God is asking us to do a lot these days, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Those of us who really want to make a difference or who really want to grow personally are the ones who are being called to lead. We're being called to act more Christ-like. We're being called to demonstrate solutions, and we're being challenged to make sure we aren't part of the problem. Please think about it. Take just 5 minutes tonight, tomorrow, and just stop and think for a moment about your own behavior. Have you been just a little bit edgy or spoken a little bit angrily with someone or a little bit snippy? And I'm sorry to tell you, but there are no excuses. No excuses. End of story. No one makes us hectic. No one forces us to do all the things we think we need to do in a day. If we aren't handling things spiritually or even pleasantly, then it's up to us to stop and change it. There are enough people in this world who are putting out negatives. Let's not be part of that group. Let's be the kind of people that practice courtesy even when we're late and running past the people on the sidewalk. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much. Pardon. Ask and you shall receive. Last time I was here, the lights went out. That was pretty crazy. Thank you. So let's be the kind of people that practice courtesy even when we're late and running past the people on the sidewalk. Let's be the kind of people who let go and let those anxious, crazy drivers go ahead of us on the freeway. Big deal. Big deal. Let's be the kind of person who has a minute or a moment to stop and help somebody cross the street if they need help. I sound like I'm preaching the Boy Scout motto or something, but if I do, I don't think that's bad. Now, sometimes on rare occasions, I might even have to catch myself. Rare, very rare occasions, that's right. And I have to force myself to slow down. Now, no one has ever described me as being mellow in the first place. So for me to slow down, I've had to work on this. But you know what I've done? I've worked on paying attention to my own body and my own behavior. And I am more quickly able to tell if I start to get that edgy, you know, I don't want to say punch somebody, but that edgy, you know, start to feel that buildup. And I notice it, and I take a moment to control it. Sometimes it just takes one deep breath. Just take a deep breath and allow it to pass. You can do it. Another thing I've trained myself to do, I made it a rule that I would never, ever send an email at work or personal or otherwise without proofreading it. Oh my gosh, was that hard to enforce. I just wanted to hit that send button faster than anybody else. It just felt like it took way too much time. But I'm a rule follower. I'm a Virgo, and even when I make my own rules, I follow them. But I did it to the point where now it's like a habit. And I'm really thankful that I take the time to proofread my emails. I've also trained myself to add good morning or good afternoon in an office email instead of just starting with, I've been waiting for your report for 2 days, or something like that. It may not be a little courteous. So by just taking a few extra moments, you can make a huge difference into how your email will be viewed and perceived by the receiver. And if you care about that relationship, whether it's a friendship or a relative. A woman at work was telling me how when her father became ill, she and her sisters were communicating via email, and things became really misunderstood, and it created a huge gulf that took a lot of love and a lot of spirituality for her to bring back together. Simply because emails were misinterpreted, things were said that weren't really meant, and it just created chaos. These things happen. I mean, there are enough things that we don't have control of. These are little things that we do have control over. And it's just so easy to do. You know, it also means we need to be the ones that have the courage to communicate. When we feel maybe we've been hurt by someone, maybe we need to just think a moment and check out our own feelings. Can we maybe give that person the benefit of the doubt? Did that person really mean to hurt me that way? If you can give them the benefit of the doubt, you'll be quite surprised most times, how from that point on, your perceptions are changed. By just giving them the benefit of the doubt at that point, you're not going to look at everything they do as negative. It's amazing. But now if you think you really have been harmed, then we need the courage to go and discuss it with the person face to face and soon. The longer you wait, the larger a problem becomes. And the longer you wait, the more difficult it is to find middle ground to resolve the situation. If you can find the courage to talk it out, you'll be giving yourself a gift. It is not easy, but it can be done. And when you do try to do this, try to address the behavior or the thing that happened rather than making an accusation about the person. Let the individual know how it felt when such and such happened. It's amazing how that can help you talk through something that seems really huge and bring it down to what it really is, one thing that happened that was blown out of proportion. I promise you, you will feel really great if you can do that. The best tip I can offer you is this, and it's something I personally do when I have to face uncomfortable situations. I remember to bring God with me. True. I remember to ask God and the angels to help me with my words and guide my actions and stand next to me in every situation. You know, like Millie said, if we all really believe God was hearing our thoughts and listening to our thoughts every minute, would we be thinking some of the things that we think? God and the angels won't let you down. And if you picture God standing next to you, it's really pretty difficult to speak angrily. It's like, you know, think about it. But now, that's about when other people have maybe done us wrong. But what about when we're the ones who maybe were a little snippy with somebody? Maybe with our spouse, our significant other, our children. Again, there are no excuses. There is no excuse for being rude, discourteous, or even downright mean. It doesn't matter if you were in a hurry. It doesn't matter if you're having a bad day. There is no excuse. So what do you do after you've had a little slip? If the relationship matters to you. Now, if you're in an accident on the freeway or something and you're never going to see that person again, you're not going to spend 2 hours engaging in the, you know. But if the relationship matters to you, you must talk with the person and apologize. And remember, a true apology does not include the word but. I'm really sorry I snapped at you, but I had da-da-da-da and I had, No. Adding that but takes all the sincerity away from that apology. If you remember anything else from this talk tonight, I would most want you to remember that little thing. An apology is a huge thing, and when properly offered, can open the floodgates to respectful, meaningful, interpersonal relationships, not to mention your own spiritual growth. I suggest we do our best to model Christ-like behaviors. I suggest we step up and be spiritual leaders. Let's not get caught up in all the stuff that takes away our basic compassion. We need to slow down. We need to stay centered and balanced. Wouldn't it be best if you were a bright, wonderful beam of positive light, a light that could be directed into any situation? We all try our best, and that's all we can do. But what I'm suggesting is just look at yourself for a moment and look at your reactions to things. Look at the pace that you're running at. Maybe take a moment to think about what really should be your priority, what is important to you. So now in closing, I'm going to share a prayer that's very profound, and it's helped me a lot, and you can bow your heads if you like. Dear God, so far today I've done it right. I haven't lost my temper, haven't been grumpy, nasty, selfish, or mean. I'm glad of that, Lord. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and from there on, Lord, I'm going to need your help. Thank you for giving me this.